Welcome to the Ask Drone You podcast, where it's all about answering your drone questions today so you can fly better, safer, and even get paid tomorrow. And now, your hosts. One is a man of few hairs, and the other likes to be called Rob Burdick and Paul Lincoln.
Hello, everybody. This is Rob.
And I'm Paul, and you're listening to another epic episode of Ask Drone You.
Epic indeed, Paul, and welcome, everybody, to episode number 158. We're so glad that you're with us, and we're glad that Paul's back from Canada.
Canada.
Oh, Canada.
Oh, you're from Canada, eh?
Nope.
So sorry.
No, we love Canada.
I actually do love Canada, although I'm not a fan of the smoke.
Smoke?
Yeah, it was smoky up there because of all the fires, in Washington. And
Yeah. Well, we actually had some of that smoke here, too, while you were gone.
Really?
Yeah, it got pretty bad. It
was pretty bad up there, too.
Air quality warnings and everything.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's pretty intense.
Yeah, the fires are burning strong up there. I'll be honest, when I flew into Seattle, I've never seen somewhere that was supposed to be very green so brown.
Really?
I mean, I was honestly shocked.
Yeah. So there's fires, what, in Oregon, maybe even, I don't know.
Idaho, Washington.
California's even got some, I think. Mm-hmm. And, of course, all that blows east oftentimes, as it did this time. And so, but in Canada, obviously, it went east and north.
It did. You know, one of the things, actually, that I should bring up here as we're talking through this podcast and helping people out with their drone decisions and whatnot, I had to deal with something that I was unaware of. And that was when I crossed the border into Canada, because I actually flew into Montana and then crossed from there. You know, at the border, they ask you so many questions. And one of the things I learned is just stick to yes or no answers.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're like, oh, you came in and brought in drones. You know, like, let's see your paperwork for that, blah, 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 blah. Well, I had it because I had gone through all the Canada drone law.
Okay.
And I actually made all the requirements to fly commercially with the Phantom.
Cool.
But he wouldn't let me through unless I proved my insurance to him. And unless I prove that I had a contract to actually be there.
Really?
Yeah. So do not go through the border and say that you are going up there to film for a job. I mean, even if you are, but it's not like in writing for whatever reason, if it's just a friend or something, you're not going to get through.
So in that scenario where it's a friend, I don't know, maybe someone's got a lodge up there and it's
just
a friend.
Just say you're
do
shooting.
Do a contract.
Well, either that or keep it simple at the border and say, look, I'm just coming up here to help a friend out and take some photos for him and whatnot and hang out. You know, like,
oh, really?
Make it about friends, not about business is
gotcha.
What I learned.
Okay.
Because he was like, well, you know, I need to see your contract and you're a freelancer and this, that, and the other. And it was just very interesting. And the final note he left me with was, you know, there's a lot of fires here. And I wanted to be like, oh, yeah, I didn't just land into an airport where you couldn't see the runway or anything. But he's like, you know, the biggest problem we've been having in Canada is people are flying their drones near fires to get photos. And I just want you to know that you can't do that. And he wanted to know where I was flying, where the nearest fire was. I mean, like, we spent an hour at the border.
So this dude was serious.
Oh, yeah. And then he finally just threw my passport at me and we left.
Wow.
Yeah.
Not literally, I hope.
Oh, no, literally. That was actually the first time. And I've been to 22 countries now, and that was the first time my passport had been thrown at me.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Like, being rude?
No, I think it was kind of like, just get out of here. Like, I don't want to deal with
you. Like, I'm done with you, finally.
Yeah.
Stupid drone people.
Yeah. But getting back into the U.S., the guy was so nice. He's like, what are you doing? I was like, I was here to take photos for wake surfing. Oh, okay, cool. Have fun.
Cool.
Bye.
Plus you're coming home at that point.
Yeah,
so.
And that's the big thing is whenever you're coming home. I also learned you shouldn't cross international water borders. It's really a bad idea.
Like?
Well, Lake Coconusa, where I was shooting,
okay.
You can drive your boat right into Montana. And if you do, you'll have military gunships on you very
quickly.
Seriously?
Like
oh,
the Coast
yeah.
Guard was out there?
Oh, yeah. Like, no,
no
joke.
Kidding.
Which is so funny because a lot of the Americans want to go to the Canadian side because there's just a lot more stuff to do, like, right there. And none of them will do it because of all the border stuff. And the thing I learned with Canada is Canada's like, we don't care about the border. We don't want to go into America where everyone's stuck up and worried about security risks that don't really exist. Like, we're We love where we live. Like, we don't want to go down there. So a culture shift, huge culture shift.
Very interesting.
I will say, though, the people in Canada are some of the nicest people I've ever met in my life.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
By far.
Have you been to Montreal?
Mm-mm, no.
Been told that it's a really fun place to go, so.
Really?
Tell us about that, guys. If you know anything about Montreal, if it's worth going there.
Definitely.
I've heard it's a beautiful place.
And sorry, guys, to rant on, but there's some useful information there as far as if you do go up to Canada, you know, make sure that you have your insurance on you, make sure that you have the specs of your drone printed up, and make sure that you have the Canadian rules printed up.
Yeah.
Because the Border Patrol and Transport Canada are two very different institutions I found out about. But when I showed them all my Transport Canada paperwork, he literally threw his passport at me and I left.
It's like anything that you're going to do, plan.
Yeah.
Plan well, and things generally, most of the time, will go fine.
Definitely. But let's get into today's question.
Yeah, so that's the ad lib version of the podcast. But we actually do have a question, Paul. And I will say, guys, we're gonna read this just because it did come in. I'm going to give the guy credit because he did call in. And for whatever reason, the file got messed up, which doesn't happen very often at all. It did here. And so we just decided to have
Tim
type it in.
And Tim made a promise that he would answer this question. But because of the nature of the question, we've got a little piece to add after it. So if you listen to this question and you think, oh my God, why are they answering this? Well, we have come up with a list. We've devised a list, Rob.
Yes, we have.
Of 10 awkward alternatives that you can use your drone for.
So you do not want to miss that.
Definitely not.
Talk about a niche business. I'm just kidding.
When you guys hear this next question, it is definitely a niche business.
No. So you know what? I think it's a legitimate question. We like to say there are no such things as dumb questions, right? You've heard that from day one, from the day you first asked your question to your mom when you were two or whatever.
It's true.
And I actually believe that because we don't want to discourage people from asking questions. There's a lot of people that would say, no, there's definitely dumb questions.
I was going to say
that. And I know that's what Paul's sitting here thinking. I do.
There's definitely like the Paul factor. And I think our listeners probably know that is that I'm very blunt and honest and not afraid to say what I think.
Yes.
But the
Paul
factor.
I just don't ever discourage anybody from asking a question.
True.
Right?
So yeah, you're right.
Keep them coming, please, regardless of if you're concerned about it being a legitimate question or not.
It's time to read the question.
From Mark Kim, actually, first name, last name. I own a Phantom 3. The golf course I live on has a coot problem. I have no idea what that is. Our superintendent is other than it's a bird.
Just read the question.
Our superintendent is ready to invest in a solution that includes radio control aircraft, I think fixed wing, and predator noises to deter the birds. Though I would love to shoot golf courses, what are your thoughts on using drones to deter unwanted birds?
This is one of those
questions where
it's like, he really wants to use a drone to deter
other... So let's look at it from his perspective. There could be a lot of drone elements that he's not aware of. So I would imagine he's sitting there understanding that it's probably not a good solution in the traditional sense of, for example, a battery lasts you 15 minutes. That's not a real efficient use of your drone battery time to get the birds out of the air. But who knows? I did read recently, and we're not going to go into this, that they're starting to develop better gas-powered drones. So there might be some ways down the road. But right now, Paul, probably not a good solution.
You know, I don't think it's a good solution. Even if you were to get a solar-powered fixed wing like the Bixler, which you can get. There's a Canadian company that makes them.
Yeah.
Yes, there is.
You're only covering a certain area at any given time as well with that.
No, but they got 8 hours out of that drone. It's a fixed wing, though, and, you know, it's not really doing much moving around. It's just kind of doing a big circle.
Yeah.
Again, I think this is a terrible idea for a drone, just because, I mean, you pull up the local Lowe's or Home Depot, and if you ever look up under the contractor bay, you'll see those big owls. They're fake owls, and they make wah, wah noises all the time, and that seems to deter the birds. I think to try and deter the birds with a drone is only going to antagonize the birds, especially, you know, he says, I own a Phantom 3. That's cool. Phantom 3s are great aircraft. The problem is that they have those, the optical flow sensors on them, which is emitting noises anyway. And the reason you're seeing so many more and more bird attacks on drones is because they're emitting noises that humans can't hear,
right,
that animals can hear, and the animals really don't like it, and they're coming after your drone. I would say I don't think this is a very good idea to deter birds. I mean, even if you had a fixed wing that was flying circles over it, how many days out of the year are you going to be able to do that,
number right. one?
Number two, how many days of the year are you going to be able to do that where the winds are light enough that you could do it, you know? I just don't think it's a really good idea. But I did think it was a great idea to come up with 10 awkward alternatives that you can use your drone for commercial purposes.
Hit it.
All right, so what's number one, Rob?
Number one is dropping a proposal ring. I got to say, that would be cool.
I'm probably going to do that, you know, because if I don't make a decision here in the next year, I'm probably going to get dropped myself.
Oh, that's number 11.
So, you know, the awkward reason number one, and this did happen in China. You can have your proposal ring delivered via drone.
That's pretty cool.
And get paid for it. What's number two, Rob?
Number two, and this is... I think you termed this the forgetful dad, the forgetful father, the uh-huh. forgetful husband, and that is to deliver a tie or cufflinks or a wallet. Who knows what dad forgot? Mom's going to be out there with the Inspire One.
Just, woo, honey. I mean, hey, this could work with Tim, part of the Bald Headed Bureau. He lives less than a mile away.
True.
And
actually, if you just use the solo, you could put it on the... The cable. What is it called? Sorry.
The cable.
What's it called? My bad.
The autonomous flight? Where, well, yeah. Or are you the cable cam?
Yeah, the cable cam.
Oh, where you
right?
Just...
So you just set that up for your wife, and if you forget something, she just pushes the button and it goes, right?
Yeah, you could do that. In case you couldn't realize already, Rob is very forgetful, and we've been using the new app that came out with the Phantom 3 that you can actually deliver items to your family and friends if they forgot them, and they're within a certain range. But then again, that runs into the whole FAA stuff. But who cares about the FAA? So let's get on to number three.
Details. So just a follow-up to that, the forgetful child. Like my son forgetting his shirt for school.
And you know what? I have to be honest, even though I was like, how do you forget your shirt for school? For me, I went to a private high school, and I had to wear a tie. And I only lived 2 miles away from my high school, so this would have been perfect for me. But it would have made me incredibly lazy. So try to remember your time.
And let's clarify, my son does not go to school without a shirt. He has PE first period.
I'm glad
he has to put on his uniform after that. So anyways, this is an interesting one, Paul. Deliver a court subpoena.
Process servers out there,
yeah.
You know, they, you know, deliver.
I would think they'd be all over this.
I would too, because, you know, it's some, I know some people are really hard to get a hold of for process serving because that's how they get out of lawsuits, which is really smart, by the way. But imagine it, right? If a guy saw an I-1 flying right over his property, I mean, literally in his front yard, and he heard the thing because he would hear it, and he walks outside and he's like, hey, what is this cool drone? You take a picture of him, you've got facial recognition, and you drop the paperwork right there, and as he picks it up, you take a picture of that, process served.
That one actually could work.
Have we seen someone do that? We have to clarify this. Not
no,
yet.
No, not yet.
Not yet. Your viral video will go viral, though, so.
Yeah, absolutely. Give it a shot. Or not.
Yeah.
The next one. Repo reconnaissance.
Repo reconnaissance. So, are you in the repo business? Do you enjoy taking other people's cars or boats? Do you need a really convenient, easy way to find out where they're located? Well, once you get your general idea, you can fly your drone in the vicinity and find out real quick where their stuff is.
And I will tell you, Paul, out here in New Mexico, there's a lot of open space that people actually live in on the reservations, uh-huh. for example. And unfortunately, there's quite a bit of repo that goes on out there. It'd be a little nerve-wracking to be going out there all by yourself or even with a repo buddy.
I would not want to go on the reservation and do that.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go out on a limb and say that.
Of course... We're talking recon. You still got to go get the vehicle or whatever it is.
That's what I'm saying. No, the recon I would do, but not getting not the vehicle.
I gotcha. Okay. That makes sense. All right. So the next one is traffic detection. That's interesting. You were saying there's a car that already does it.
There is a car. I believe it was made by Tattoo Motors. I can't remember. But if you're out there and you're on Google, search car made with drone. And actually, this car has a drone that deploys out of the car, like the fuselage of the car opens up. Mm-hmm. It's not a fuselage, whatever you want to call it, the body of the car. And the drone actually takes off and gives you real-time traffic updates. What's in front of you? Should I go to the fork on the right or should I go on the fork on the left? Should I stay in the left lane or maybe, you know, stick to the right lane?
So that sounds pretty cool. I have one question. Can you be moving for it to come land? Or do
I don't
you have
know.
To be stationary?
I don't know.
All right. We'll have to find out more
that
about
would
that.
Be, yeah. I wonder how expensive they are, too, because, like, once you get – if you get that like, pocket of free space, would you just leave the drone and drive and continue on?
I wonder.
Yeah.
Probably not.
What's our next one, Rob?
Medicine delivery. Now, this is a serious deal.
This is, and this just happened in my home state of Virginia, where they
really
successfully delivered medicine to I think they were outpatient hospitals from the University of Virginia Hospital. I can't remember.
Very cool. Well, you could see natural disasters, this being a big deal.
Yes.
Getting into some places that are hard to get to. You could also see all over
nursing
Africa,
homes,
for example, in the villages that are incredibly remote. And I don't, you know, then you start getting into how far the drone can go.
Yeah.
But
I was going to say nursing homes for diaper delivery.
Okay.
All right. Awkward alternative number, what is it, seven?
This is number eight.
Number eight.
And this is one that I think everybody actually has heard about, but life preserver, and that's another serious one. That's no joke.
I wouldn't say that's awkward.
It's
I would
not
say
awkward.
That's actually a really good one.
That's
and
legit.
There is a system now where you can deploy a life preserver from an I-1 just by moving up and down the legs, which is really cool. And we're seeing it more and more off the coast of California. Even this week it was on the news.
Is that
so,
right? Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, that's a fantastic use, actually.
And by this week, I mean this morning because it's Monday, so.
Cool. This is something that you brought up, Paul, that I had not thought of nor heard of, and that's oil and gas royalty
reconnaissance.
Back to reconnaissance. Yeah.
So this is actually something that I have been asked to do. Here in the Southwest, oil rights are a big deal. And a lot of new oil owners, because of the dip in gas prices, are taking funnels and essentially funneling the gas off of old pipes wells onto new wells so that they don't have to pay royalties to the landowner or whoever owned the mineral rights.
Agreed.
Because you can have, let's say, Rob, you own the mineral rights, but I own the property. Even if I own the property, I can't drill for oil unless I make a deal with you for mineral rights.
Right.
So I actually turned down that job because I told them how much I cost per day, and they were kind of like, well, that seems like a lot. And it's like, well, how much are you losing in royalties?
Yeah, seriously. I mean, that's pretty simple cost-benefit analysis, I would think.
Yep.
Maybe they decided it's not a good use of the money. The next one. So we're not suggesting you try this.
Oh, gosh. Here comes the safe, Rob.
Yes. The anti-lawsuit, Rob. The anti-I can't believe Drone U is putting this stuff out there, Rob. What is it, Paul?
Military haircuts. So for you gentlemen who just love to go to the barbershop for your pre-deployment haircut, we've got a solution for you that would probably take about 1/100th of the time it
That's
normally
right.
takes. Just kind of put you in a chair, turn the P3 on, and done.
So
especially with those cannered motors, you know, you would get a nice bowl cut around the
yeah,
sides.
Yeah, nice.
Too.
So normal day rates for that, Paul?
I don't know.
It's going to be a pricey haircut.
Well, or is it going to be a convenience thing? Because if you're a dude that's doing pre-deployment haircuts, you have 100 guys come in, and it takes 10 seconds where they sit down,
that becomes a haircut factory.
Macro, you know, volume business. So I would actually charge less.
Okay.
$5 a haircut.
Well, I suppose if you put it on some sort of a cable and it went down, but then you've got different height guys. All right.
Now you know
why. I don't
think
we're going to pursue that business.
Now you know why it's called the awkward alternative
That's right.
for your drone.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend that one.
But guys, we really appreciate you listening to this silly episode of Ask Drone U. We normally don't do these, but when we get silly questions, we thought we would come up with silly answers just to make it fun and keep you guys entertained, because that's what this is all about, giving you useful information. But hey, we all like to be entertained a little bit too, right?
We absolutely do like to be. I like to be entertained.
Definitely. So guys, thank you so much for listening to another epic episode of Ask Drone U. If you're still listening, it means you're an avid listener, and that means your review on iTunes or Podomatic, wherever you listen to our podcast. We would really appreciate your review. And if you really want to support this podcast, just go to thedroneu.com, become a member where you can learn to turn your passion into profit. Or if you're an enthusiastic hobbyist, which a lot of you are, and you kind of want to figure out what it takes to turn a love into money, it's quite simple, and you can learn all about it on our website, thedroneu.com.
Absolutely. And guys, don't forget webinars, although we're having a couple weeks off here every Monday.
We are
7 o'clock Eastern. So not today.
Fault.
Well, fault doesn't matter. You know, life happens, but we just want you to know we're committed to those and they will be back.
Definitely, guys. But guys, thanks again for listening. That's going to do it for us today.
Thanks for listening to the Ask Drone U podcast. Submit your questions at www.askdroneu.com.